What's up? It's your boy, the Ted Smith. Thanks for listening to the Men's Room Daily Podcast. Want more? Check out the greatest podcast in all the land, The Podcast. Be sure to subscribe and listen to a brand new episode every Tuesday night.
Back to the conversation. This is the Men's Room with Miles and Thrill. 99.9 KISW.
Live day, dude, live. Social distancing wise this year, Bajolas. KISW presents Live Day Tuesday, November 10th. Just announced this morning, we are doing a little KISW Live Day halftime Zoom room situation. You can either hang with us or BJ and Migs as we get set for a little Live Day action.
Yes, indeed.
Your chance to ask any question you want, completely unfiltered. Here is the deal, though. There are only a limited number of tickets available for BJ and Migs and the Men's Room. 50 spots, I believe, as
that's
we
it.
All get together on one big Zoom call. A Live Day, by the way, presented by our friends of the Advocates. Visit KISW.com if you want to get in there and get a ticket. Ticket proceeds go towards our friends for Coats for Kids and the Washington State Council of Firefighters and Operation Warm. So you're doing a little good there as you join us for a little pre-party before we get set to hit the airwaves.
Now, let's be honest. This was the second idea. We ended up going with the Live Day halftime Zoom room. Now, we fought to get the Live Day halftime womb broom. Went through legal. They turned it down.
Yep,
we were going to grow mustaches, the whole thing.
Can't do it. But what we can do is KISW's Live Day halftime Zoom room. Again, there are only a limited number of tickets. If you want to join us for the halftime Zoom room, head to KISW.com.
And, don't say womb room.
The womb room.
Don't mess
it
up.
We're going to have a good time there.
I'm doing to you what you do to everyone who doesn't do a stage announcement.
The old womb room. Yeah, that's it.
Random.
Hello, Dar. Welcome to the men's room.
How's it going, guys?
Hola.
Hello, Dar. How are you, man?
I'm pretty good.
Okay, let's get your random question here. See how you're doing. Okay. Let's go with this one. All right.
There you go with that one.
I'm going to go with this one. Who would you say, Dar, in your lifetime, is the most arrogant person that you've ever had to deal with?
Oof. So, that'd probably have to be my coworker.
Okay.
Uh-huh. Now, are they arrogant about their work ethic, their work ability, or about themselves in general?
A little about just about everything.
Do they think they're God's gift to the world? I mean, do they think they're attractive looking, or like what did Steve say? Do they think they're great at their job? Is it, you know what I mean? Like,
right.
Always get the hottest dates or what?
Anything you can do, I can do better.
So he's the one-upper guy.
Kind of thing.
Okay.
Yeah.
Have you ever just had fun at his expense and just tell a story that's a complete lie to see if he will one-up you with a similar story? It's worth doing.
I have to someone else, but not this guy. He's a good guy. We went out and drank sometimes and whatnot, but he's just, I like to get under his skin.
Okay. I drink a lot of people I hate. Yeah.
Yeah, typically the people that I know in my lifetime who are the most arrogant people that I know, it wasn't because they were so attractive that was not what brought on the arrogance. It was kind of more of just how they thought of themselves as people and that they were better than you from the very beginning. Whether that was based on their family money, whatever the deal was. There was always money involved.
Yeah.
Like they were on a different level. Socially, you weren't going to be invited to this party. You could never go to that neighborhood. It was more about, seriously, just money.
But the most arrogant guy I know, and you're right, there's a guy, I won't say his name, he has departed since then. Ted, you knew this guy as well. And he worked in radio. And AM said he wasn't on air. He would do some board hopping, and occasionally he would do like some engineering stuff or go on site to set up sound and this kind of thing. But this dude thought he was God's gift to everything, and it annoyed everybody. Dude was like 450 pounds.
Okay.
You know what I'm talking about now,
yeah.
Right? But to talk to him, and he was convinced, all right, this is a guy, I remember walking into a bathroom, and he's sitting on the toilet having a conversation. Give you an idea of why I don't think he should be so arrogant. But he's having a conversation with his sister. They live together. They are discussing dinner plans. And I hear him discussing to pull the pot roast out of the freezer in between farts. And I remember, I swear to you, just hear him going, yeah, well, I don't know. I'm probably going to be done at 6. Why don't you just pull the pot roast out? And we can put it. I'm like, oh, my God, right? That's who this guy was. Anyway, he was convinced that he was the best employee there, which always blew my mind.
For sure.
But once a year, every year, right around the holidays, our boss at the time went through a mass firing. right? Always like 10 to 15 people would be let go. And basically, if anyone walked into a studio and said the boss's name and said they want to talk to you, you knew you're getting your walking papers. Anyway, this guy for years thought he was the man. And I remember being in the studio the day the door opened and our old friend Steve Stauffberg was like, hey, Tom, Blake wants to talk to you. And it was just like this walk of death. Next time I saw him, about 20 minutes later, just bawling his face off. No. It was amazing. I'm like, I don't feel bad at all. Anybody else loses their job, you're like, man, I'm sorry. Trying not to say his name. I'm just like, yeah, well, you know, bad things happen.
He was the same guy that thought the Subway diet would work for him.
He would
get like footlongs and load them up with mayonnaise and all this
oil
stuff, right? And then the Subway was like not even two blocks away, and he'd drive there.
Seriously. And he'd go, I'm not losing any weight.
Yeah.
Okay.
And then he was going to try, you're supposed to eat away fat while you slept. I can't remember the name of it. But he was saying the product was fairly brand new, and he's going on about it in the studio one day, and this other guy we work with looked at him and said, bro, you better take a bottle of sleeping pills if you want that to work.
You better sleep all day. 24
hours. I mean, Library, you got to hibernate.
Reason we asked, who is the most arrogant person you've had to deal with? We're talking about presidential candidate Kanye West. And he might have reached the height of insanity when he helped put together Kim Kardashian's 40th birthday gift. We talked about her birthday.
And like last week, 2 weeks ago, whatever.
Whatever it was. People on social media lost their minds. Well, either way, this is pretty strange. But he gave her, as a gift, a hologram of her late father, Robert Kardashian, who was the attorney who represented O.J. Simpson. Yeah. Granted, look, this was a long time ago. You might not know who Kim Kardashian's dad was.
Right.
He's been gone for a while. But either way, he was the guy that brought you the Kardashians, or at least the name.
He brought you the name for sure.
Yeah.
During the O.J. trial.
And he died back in 2003. So again, this is some 17 years ago. Kim was 23 years old, but the hologram is him, and he's talking, and they took various bits of his audio and kind of pieced stuff together. They also used someone who could do his voice close enough,
okay,
where they replicated it. And during the hologram thing, Robert tells Kim, as an adult, how proud he is, not only of her,
very sweet,
but of the whole family,
mm-hmm,
and how he's watching over all of them. And he loves the fact that she's continuing his legacy by studying to become a lawyer. So
it's all good stuff. Kanye, you're going, man, I thought, yeah, Kanye was a jackass. That's actually pretty, yeah, cool.
And then he ended it with this. He told Kim she married, quote, the most genius man in the whole world, Kanye West.
And there's the Kanye touch.
Mm. Love you, Kim. Have a great birthday. That's how they signed off with.
That's creepy.
That is weird. I don't know if I'd be...
It's your dead father. It's a hologram. I understand the sentiment. And based on the initial things that it's saying to Kim, like, hey, that would be kind of touching. But then it ends with, you know, and you married the smartest, most genius chick of Yeezys. I mean, like, come on, man.
I don't know if I'd want to see a hologram of somebody who I cared about and who I know that's passed on.
I'm with you.
I think it'd be very, very heavy. It'd be too much for me. It would be too weird. I wouldn't be able to. Not that
and
I wouldn't
be weird.
What if it's sunshine?
They're talking to you, but oh Jesus!
What, yeah, if it's sunshine? Just barking.
Right. See, I might be able to deal with that.
I'm on fire,
because I get to see sunshine.
You know, right, I mean? But seeing a parent or a grandparent or somebody that passed away,
yeah,
and it's like they're talking to you, but you can't interact with them.
Mm-hmm.
I'm with you. I don't know if I'd want
to. I told you to eat your vegetables. Look at you. You look like hell.
It's not Waldorf.
You know your grandfather hated you.
Oh.
He loved all of your brothers and sisters more.
And you're adopted.
Exactly.
Like you're his favorite. We find you on the side of the road.
Yeah, I think that would be so weird. I really do.
But how could it not be? I mean,
any of your old close friends that have passed on, I mean, like, that would be hard. That might even be harder than,
yeah,
some family. I mean, just like, it's too much. But again, 17 years is
I'm
passed.
Making a hologram, look, for man, my kids. I'm going to freak. That's going to be the, yeah, reading of my will be the hologram. Right. Now, kids, I know it's going to be creepy and it's going to freak you out, but if you want to get the money, you got to be here when dad pops up.
Then at the end, you're going to go, help me, Obi-Wan Kenobi.
You're my only hope.
Ah, just kidding. You don't get Jack. I gave it to Yoda.
It's buried with me. You got to exhume me to get my money.
Random.
My kids are going to hate me. They really are.
Random.
Hello, Brandon. Welcome to the men's room.
Hola, bicholas.
Hola. Brandon, welcome to the program. Random question. All right, let's see here. Brandon, what would you say is the worst thing that you have ever spent money on? The worst thing that you've ever spent money on?
Well, that's a tough question.
Back when I was a kid, probably spending all my money on weed.
Well, did you not have a good... did you not have a good time?
I mean, I did, but hey.
We didn't say well, smart.
So much money on weed, I could have been saving that. Who knows where I'd be right now, you know what I mean?
Think about all the money that you spent on women that you're no longer with.
Yeah, look.
You know, think about all those dinners, all that kind of crap, man. That's inevitable, but something where you spent the money. What?
I've been with one girl.
Damn it.
And I'm about to marry her.
How long have you guys been together?
7 years, 3 months engaged.
Okay. Congratulations on that. I'll tell you what, man, and please understand this, and I'm not saying this in a way where I'm not trying to give you hope. No matter how much money you save, no matter how much money you make, some crap's going to happen, and that money's going to have to get out of there. It'll disappear. Something will happen. Mm-hmm. Somebody will need something. If you had 50 bucks, someone will call you and go, oh, my God, if I just had 48 bucks. If you had $5,000, your transmission's going to blow up on your car. Like, mm-hmm. No matter what you do, you might as well just, I mean, not that you should not save money. I'm just letting you know.
You're saving it for the disaster.
Somebody's
going to
put the hand in the jar, and you don't know who it's going to be, you, somebody else.
It's
that is a hard question, though, because I bought a lot of stupid stuff in my lifetime, dude.
Okay.
Yeah, but she's still with you. What would be her biggest gripe with you? I mean, after 7 years, obviously she's resigned to her fate, but where does she think you blow your money?
Video games.
Uh-huh. All right. But again, and I will say this, I never consider a blown opportunity when I'm getting some type of entertainment or experience.
Sure.
And now, don't get me wrong. There are bad movies. There are bad bands. There are bad. Look, the one regret that I have was buying a family four pack to the Nutcracker.
Yeah, but you knew that was going to suck.
I did not know.
Yes, you did.
I did not know.
How did you not? Okay. It's the Nutcracker, man.
Yeah,
even the commercials suck, and they showed the same one. That's on you.
I told you.
I didn't know that drinking this bottle of cyanide. Of course it's going to kill you.
I have been to the opera before. I have also been to the symphony before.
That's a little different.
They were all a little bit different. I'd never been to a ballet. So listen, and I'm not saying, and I'm naive as hell. I've said this before.
I've never been on dialysis. I'm not fighting to do it.
I own this because I never really looked into it too much. I did not know there was no dialogue. All right? And I know you're thinking.
That is the bane of every man's existence.
You dumbass. How did you not know that there is no dialogue in the ballet and that the interpretation of the dance is what is supposed to explain to you what is going on? Well, newsflash, I'm not real good at interpreting dance. Okay? That's a language that I do not speak. And no matter how high I got, Mike, it did not matter. It was. Thank God they had Men's Room Red out in the lobby.
Yeah, yeah. Oh, I know where you saw it.
Yeah, exactly. But I just sat out there and pounded a couple during the intermission, but they don't want you walking in because, God forbid, you disturb anyone who's watching this interpretation of dance. So I told you, man, first of all, I leaned over, and it's my daughter, and I'm like, hey, man.
How old was she at this time?
I don't know. Old enough to think I'm an idiot. I was like, dude, are they going to say anything or what, man? She's like, Dad, they don't talk in a ballet. I'm like,
you got to be kidding me. You got to be kidding me.
This is like a play. So, okay, so the rat is chasing the Taliban, or the Taliban wants to kill the rat? What's going on here?
And it says, I honestly don't know what it's about. Is it about?
I was so mad. I never left something where I was just pissed off. Like, I'm never getting this time back.
How much did that cost you?
Oh, I mean, these are like Vegas price tickets, you know what I mean? But in Vegas, you're at least seeing Lionel Richie or somebody who's decent. I mean, they talk to you.
Right.
They're like, we're going to dance on the ceiling tonight?
But I'm not going to sing it. Just going to play the music.
Exactly. No, it was. It was just a bummer. I felt dumb not knowing that.
I think you're dumber for not knowing it, man.
Look, I've been to Disney on Ice. I have seen...
That's different. They sing and it's interactive.
Blue House. I've seen Caillou. I've seen... Clifford the Big Red Dog on
Clifford.
Ice.
Clifford, yeah.
Whatever. I've seen them all. But those were not a waste of time for me. They really weren't. Dora the Explorer?
Saw Peppa Pig. And as much as I hate... Ooh, I almost cussed. I don't like Peppa Pig at all on any level, but when... Went to Peppa Pig Live, because that's what parents do, you sons of bitches. And it was awful. But my kids were so happy.
Yeah.
Somehow,
it makes it work,
my kids' happiness, this is the most inane, vapid garbage I had ever seen in my life. To the point, I'm like getting irritated, but my daughter in particular was so excited and was so involved. I'm like, all right.
This is the point of what I'm saying about the
Ted. What?
I'd rather see Peppa Pig than a ballet.
No, you would 100%.
You know why? Because what he's saying is right. Yeah.
They talk. They interact. Your kid. That's the thing. Peppa was screaming to my kids to get up out of their seat and sing along with them. Play things like the Nutcracker, bro. I mean, it's
in Peppa Pig. You can get a piece of pizza. You can get a pretzel. You can get an ice cream cone.
You get beer.
You get a hot dog. You can get beer. They get sodas. I'm looking over at my kids during this thing, man, and they look miserable. So it's kind of for them.
Right. Nobody, you know
what I mean?
This.
I mean, so if they showed any type of joy, I'd be like, you know what? This is worth it.
Right.
You know, I can sit through this. But I looked at their just stale faces. One kid's like underneath, like on the phone, like doing some stuff. And I'm just like,
I'm stuck at the
Nutcracker. I don't blame you. This sucks. You know what I mean?
Did they want to go or did you surprise them? Were you like trying to be super dad?
It's like, no, look, it's like anything else. When you don't know something, it's a holiday thing. It's the Nutcracker. It's ballet. Okay, let's go. You know?
No, no, that no. Once you say ballet, no, I will go to a holiday program.
Right.
Like my kids do it at the school, and
I'll go see. I'll go see a musical.
Sucks.
I saw musicals.
But if they said, "Look, your kids aren't going to sing this year, but we've taught them this interpretive dance," like Daddy's going to miss that performance. I'm sorry, man. I will sit through your screechy recorder rendition of, you know, Jingle Bells and all the rest of your crap. But if it were just dance, and they're like, no.
Yeah.
No.
Was there a song you recognize? Is there a famous Nutcracker song?
I mean,
I think
there is,
man.
On the commercial,
they play it, and you're like, yeah, it's a Nutcracker, but I'll talk in my head.
It's like the worst song.
I'm the Nutcracker.
It's not that I don't like the Red Hot Chili
Peppers. I'm cracking some nuts. I'm the Nutcracker. Join us at the ballet tonight.
I'll give it to you this way. If that's your favorite
I'm the Nutcracker.
If that's your favorite band and the band's the Chili Peppers, every song is Underneath the Bridge. You know what I mean? It's
just watch me dance.
It's not
cool. I'm the Nutcracker.
My back's got a handle.
And I'm pot nuts.
And everybody around is going, shh. And you're like, did I say anything?
What? I'm sorry. Am I talking over someone?
Did I ruin the dialogue for you?
Just watch him dance and shut up.
I like the idea of you being wasted now. Just like, that is the damn point of this.
This sucks. I can see
I'm the Nutcracker.
I figured out why they call it the Nutcracker, because you can see the outline of every guy's penis.
Look at the men's baggy.
Look at that guy down there. I can see his penis from I'm in the balcony. Yeah, look, guy.
Dude, I had a buddy whose ex lived with somebody that performed in the ballet. Shocking, he was Russian. And I remember I would get dragged in to go into a dinner party or some crap. You can hear it in my voice. It was awful.
What was awful about it?
It's just
the conversation.
The company, the conversation. The whole thing sucked.
Really?
Yes.
Because he doesn't talk for a living.
Right.
Yeah. And then everyone's just like, oh, you're in the ballet, this and that. And it's just like, can we talk about something normal? This dude ain't normal.
Oh, wait. All right. Somebody said the name of the song. I still don't remember how it goes, other than I know I recognize it. That apparently is the dance of the Sugar Plum Fairies. That's the tune.
They don't close with it.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
But think about what I just said. And I've heard of the song, I know. But Sugar Plum Fairies. How did that become a popular song?
It doesn't matter what they play.
I represent the Sugar Plum Fairies.
You got to interpret the dance. You know what I mean? Reason we asked what this
so says, Miles, you're an idiot.
I know. Look, I'm we're in the tree. I'm being honest. I hope I make you feel smarter, but I just did not know. I did not know. That was my first ballet experience. Shockingly enough, it is also my last. I promise you. I will give them money. If they ever had a pledge drive, like save our wooden shoes,
right?
I'd give them some money. You know what I mean? Whatever they do. I don't know. We need tights.
You saw ballet in wooden shoes.
Russians need tights. You know what I mean? I would give them money so they could continue their art. I am just not going to check it out. Seriously. I think that's fair. I would also buy them all cheeseburgers because they need one. They do. They need a couple bacon cheeseburgers.
So that they can purge it later, yes.
Yeah, exactly. So the reason we asked, what is the worst thing you spend money on? A man, we brought you this story last week. A man who paid $150 for the full contact experience with a black leopard said he had to go undergo multiple surgeries after he was mauled by the fully grown animal at some dude's house. Yeah. Dwight Turner was heavily bandaged with his head. Actually, that thing ripped his scalp off and half of his ear.
And you paid for that.
After the attack, the man who lives there, identified as a Michael Poggy, he's got a Facebook page saying, come over and pet my panther. He's got an animal sanctuary for rare and endangered animals. Investigators that say that they charged the guy $150 for what they called the full contact experience.
Yeah.
where you get to take the black leopard, play with the black leopard, rub its belly, and take pictures. I don't know what you know about rubbing a cat's belly.
Right.
That is the ultimate high wire act for domesticated animals. I mean, you know it's going to go one of two ways. You might have 10 seconds, you might have 15 seconds, but when that switch gets flipped,
it's over.
Your hand better be out of there quicker than you could ever imagine. This is a black panther who weighed 150 pounds.
I am T'Challa.
I'm going to pet that thing's belly.
Nope.
Moron. More of the random question coming up. 206-421-ROCK.
The men's room is in progress. 99.9 KISW and KISW HD1 Seattle.
Your guess is as good as mine on the way after our random question categories today. As we get a little bit early there for Thanksgiving, we have the top 10 Thanksgiving side dishes that people are fantasizing about eating right now. So I'm 3.5, 4 weeks out. They're already thinking about it. I cannot wait to get into that.
What's been your most surprising?
That is
side
no
dish.
Turkey. That is no ham. Oh God!
You know, you go to somebody else's house, and most things you'll find cranberry sauce. The consistency will be different. Blah blah blah. Maybe they have sweet potatoes. Maybe they don't. They have some kind of potato product, green beans, and every once in a while, you know, you look at something that looks awful, and they're like, "Well, it's our family tradition, our special blah," and you're like, "Yeah, I don't want any of that on my plate."
The Jell-O mold with the fruit inside. I've seen that twice in my lifetime. That was
buddy. I have a buddy that's Italian, so his mashed potatoes, there's like salami and cheese.
Ooh,
in it.
Ooh, that sounds awesome.
Yeah, he calls it like potato pie. It is delicious.
As long as it's good.
I don't like the casserole dishes that fail to achieve success. You know what I mean?
Like casserole to me says 80% failure. Like whatever you put in front, that's fine. It's just the name alone says there's an 80% chance this is gonna suck.
Casserole's like, this is what I had left.
I gotta get you that cracked out tater tot recipe I have.
Is that what it's called?
You said you're gonna make it for us one day.
Even if you didn't, we're talking to that now.
Okay, all right. Would you put tater tots down? Then what did you say you put on top of that bad boy?
Well, it's a whole mixture of stuff. There's some cheese. There's some bacon bits.
All right.
Ooh.
But it's super simple.
Okay.
Is it delicious?
It is awesome.
Okay.
Like, I have to actively not make it.
We have the top 10 Thanksgiving side dishes on the way and the most hated sports franchises of all time. Mm-hmm. Those are your choices.
Losers.
With your guess is as good as mine. In the meantime, it is our random question 206-421-ROCK.
Hello, Mike. Welcome to the men's room. Hola.
Mike, welcome to the program. Random question. Yeah, let's see. We're doing great, man. How are you, Mike?
Kicking.
Okay. You dating anybody, Mike?
Nah, I'm doing the single life.
Nice. Okay, good for you.
2020 has helped a lot of people maintain that.
I'm going to give you this question then. So it's a hypothetical, and this is good because you're living alone, and that's important in this situation, all right? And not that you would ever do this. I don't think you would. But if you had to, what exotic animal would you be willing to have as a pet? Even if it's just for a year, someone says, "Hey, man, I'm going to New Zealand for a while. Would you please, while I'm gone, take care of my pet, whatever it is?" What do you think, as far as an exotic animal, that you would be willing to deal with, to feed, to clean up after, to do all those things that you need to do? Now, this is not just
a llama.
Really, a llama?
Hmm.
I mean, I
no
guess
question.
What is it about the llama that Jesus? What is it about a llama that holds some appeal?
Don't you want to see what a llama does? I mean, I think I would.
Are they friendly?
I want you to see what a llama does.
Are they friendly?
I mean, I heard they spit. So
I don't want animals going to spit on me.
No, I don't. What's the difference? What's the difference technically between a llama and an alpaca? And I'm going to catch hell on this.
I just don't know.
Isn't there a fine line between the two?
There is. I don't know what it is, but I'm an alpaca man. The hell with llamas.
Okay,
alpaca man.
Because I think that alpacas are a little bit friendlier, aren't they?
I believe so. And they have very warm fur.
Okay. Well, I know the socks are fantastic. I've got some alpaca socks. They're number one. Okay. All right. So you're going to go with the llama. All right.
I don't know, man. I don't know if you call it exotic, but a donkey. Only because I'm at Pokey the Donkey, man.
Is that exotic?
Is a llama?
Yeah.
Oh,
like
really?
Ostrich is exotic.
I don't want that.
A turkey is not.
Okay,
an emu
fair
is
enough,
exotic.
Fair
you know what I mean?
I don't, man.
Chicken
I don't
is
know.
Not.
Be something like a koala.
A koala. They're nasty and have chlamydia.
Ooh, okay. A panda. Like a small panda.
A small panda?
A panda would eat your face.
Pandas eat people's faces?
No.
Well, if you have one in the house, I bet it would.
No way. I don't think you'd wake up panda eating your face.
just want something that even if it gets mad at me, it can't kill me. I mean, that's the long and short of what I'm going for. Well, look, you can say, like, I have tiger, and it's like, right, if something goes wrong, you die, right? Chimpanzee,
but,
absolutely.
But you have you started with donkey.
Yes.
Now, what's kind of like the cousin of a donkey?
An ass.
Like a mule?
A mule. I don't know. Yeah.
Right? Because that's half horse, half donkey. So if you want to get exotic, you get a zebra.
Ooh. What about a miniature pony?
Okay.
What about a miniature pony?
That's not exotic.
But I heard they're not very nice.
I'm sure they're not. Look at them.
Okay, I'm going to go pot-bellied pig.
That's not exotic.
It is.
It's
I got
not.
A pig living
no.
in my house.
There's no way that's exotic.
I got a
exotic.
Pig in my house. That's crazy.
He
my
could have a
donkey.
Donkey
is not exotic. But your pot-bellied pig?
Well,
come on,
there's
man.
There's an in-game to my pig.
Oh, I know.
You can't eat donkey.
You can.
I mean, at least if I'm feeding this thing, man, I'm going to rub it down. It's going to be like Wagyu pig.
Yeah, no.
You know what I mean? Like
my owner loves me.
Massaged every day, man, all nice and fatty. I'm going to feed him upright. You know what I mean? Get him ready to go for Easter.
Not exotic.
No,
it's not exotic.
I tell you this, I'd stay away from reptiles. Even though they're in a cage. I have lived in a place with someone with a boa constrictor.
Sure.
It got out. We didn't know where it was for months. So you could say, well, you could put the snake in the cage. You can, but there's a chance that when you're asleep, it might get out.
What if it's a chameleon? Is a chameleon exotic? It's not going to F you
up. Yeah,
but
you can buy like a chameleon at Petco, can't you?
Maybe. I don't know.
Bernie used to have a caiman. That thing was cool.
But what do you do with it? You just look at it, right?
Or you watch it hunt.
Okay, but that's it. Like once a week, you got like 5 minutes of fun. Is that it?
Yeah,
you
that's
got that thing in the corner.
I would come over when they fed it a mouse.
Yeah, that's pretty exciting.
But see, I feel like if you own an exotic pet, all you're doing is waiting to see what it would do if it's in the wild, right?
Right. Yeah.
You just
brought up the
so
panther
if I have
story.
The tiger, like, right, I'm going to watch him eat things, but the truth is my pet wants to kill me. Like, inevitably, it wants to kill me.
Mm-hmm.
I don't want
that. How about
that
an exotic bird?
No.
How about like a parrot or what's the white Beretta bird?
Is that a cockatoo?
Is that a cockatoo?
I don't know. They seem annoying.
Would you take a bird that could talk to you?
No.
See, I think there's some entertainment value in
this. No, there's not. My kids talk to me and there is some entertainment value. But the point being, based on the sheer volume of words that are sprayed my way every day, the percentage of things they say that are funny or memorable, it's real low.
Okay,
so I don't
you're
want
not Steve.
Another
you're not Steve.
Voice.
You're not Steve. You introduce yourself as Sex Machine, right?
All
right. So you just point yourself, Sex Machine, Sex Machine. All right, Sex Machine, you bird brain, right? Whatever. And then...
You don't train birds, do you?
When the parrot walks in, yeah, right? He goes, hello, Sex Machine. Hello, Sex Machine. And you go, hi, bird brain. And then you start the relationship. And then the fun you could have, you could just put stuff on...
I call the cops. Why does your bird... Call you Sex Machine.
Alexa, say the F-bomb 50 times in a row. You know what I mean? And then I just let that thing go. And then I teach the parrot to say whatever I want, whatever's on my mind.
Uh-huh.
You know what I mean? Frank and beans, whatever it is, anything.
Yeah, but here's the problem. You live alone. You might not be aware of some of the things you constantly say. Just, you know,
right,
like,
right.
Man, where the hell's my knife? What are, you know what I mean? Just simple
man,
stuff.
Where the hell's my knife?
Exactly.
See?
You're going to find out a lot. If you talk in your sleep...
No, I put
Plum, put your hands down my pants again. Like, you don't know, bro. You don't know what's coming
out. I don't have to ask
but
myself.
The bird is going to tell you.
Yeah.
Oh, Big Sheila.
Oh, I'm going to say stuff like, oh, Miles.
Nobody knows I like it like that.
Miles, you're so big. You know what I mean? Like that. Then when that parrot talks, he's going to say the best things ever.
And you're going to creep someone out.
You're like, every time I smoke
weed. Myers has a big penis.
Every time I smoke weed, he's going to be like, you need a Dicksburger. You need a Dicksburger.
Yeah, it does seem odd that your bird talks about your sex life.
Talks about anything I want to.
No, but so far it's only been your sex life.
You know, like last night, be like, take out the trash. And be like, thank you.
No, I went to Kung Fu Grip.
Thank you for the reminder. The reason we asked, what exotic animal would you be willing to have as a pet? Investigators are looking into a heist that took place last Thursday at a Kissimmee, Florida exotic pet store where at least one thief took 50 birds and two monkeys.
Mm.
Wait, you put like a monkey under each arm and just roll out? What do you do?
I don't know how you smuggle a monkey.
I don't either.
Yeah, I haven't stolen a monkey.
One suspect was caught on camera breaking into the animal paradise by making a hole in the back of the store. He walked into a room, unplugged the security cameras. The store owner told authorities she didn't notice anything was wrong until later Friday morning when she opened the store. The 50 birds and two monkeys. What is the value, the street value these days, would you guess? 50 birds, two monkeys. What's the monetary value of this?
The problem is this. If you're stealing them to then sell them, you're selling them, I would assume, for a lower price than a pet store. Otherwise, someone who wanted one of these things would go to the pet store and spend less money. So I don't understand, Like, if you, hey, man, I can get you 50 birds, or you could spend less at the pet store. Like, who are you giving these things
to? So it's 50 birds, two monkeys.
50 birds, two monkeys. I approach you in a van. I got speakers. I got slacks. And I got 50 birds, two monkeys. You just want the birds and monkeys. How much money?
$15,000.
How much?
$15,000.
$15,000?
Higher. $15,000.
Higher.
Are you kidding?
Higher.
$30,000.
Higher.
$50,000.
Higher.
$80,000.
$60,000. That's what 50 birds and two monkeys cost. Now, I'm saying if you break this thing down into a pie chart, right?
Take two monkeys out. What do you think it costs?
I don't know. What I'm wondering is, how much is a monkey?
That's what I mean. Take the two monkeys away from the birds. I bet you they're $40,000.
If they were reasonably priced, this would be a great prank to buy someone for like a big birthday, like a 40-year birthday, 50-year birthday.
What do you think the cost of a monkey is?
That's what I mean.
What's the name of the pet store? Let's Google it.
It is called HSL Animal Paradise. But guess what?
HSL.
They don't have monkeys. The monkeys are gone.
I know, but they have to have like a price.
This is
right?
Kiss me. On top of that, there's evidence the suspect violently handled the animals as feathers were found spread around the store, and one bird was discovered dead. Now, I'm not saying anything.
But you're about to.
You take 50, all right, and there's only one dead, right, throughout this whole thing. Not a bad average.
You know, 98%.
I mean, you did the best you could. You know what I'm saying? Like, maybe the bird got traumatized when you grabbed it by the neck or whatever.
Or maybe got out of the cage.
Yeah, exactly. But, yeah, they said it looked like the whole floor was covered in feathers. Do we know, Mike, how much it costs to get a monkey?
You're working on it.
I'm just saying, curious, man.
I bet the monkeys are about $20,000 apiece. You think they're that high? Or you?
I'll say together for two monkeys. I'm guessing it's $25,000, and then the rest of those birds collectively.
But you got to remember, all these birds weren't in one cage. This guy went over here and took a couple parrots.
That's what I mean. A few of them, I think, are going to come in as heavy hitter, like a $12,000 bird. A couple of them are worth $40, right?
But two monkeys and 50 birds, $60,000. And where do you sell these?
I don't know. At the pet store. That's what I mean. You don't need to steal.
There's a whole market for black market birds.
Well, why wouldn't you just go to the pet store? Because this guy's probably going to charge you more than what the pet store would have.
Well, there he should charge less.
He should, but then what's the point of breaking in? You know what I mean? Like, I'm not going to risk that to sell it at less value.
Well, because it's all profit.
Well, true.
You never paid for them to begin with.
I mean, what is he doing with the monkeys right now? Like, what are the monkeys doing? I mean, they still haven't found
them. Riding bicycles.
Okay. I just don't know.
Grabbing coconuts.
Right. I don't know. What do you do with a monkey once you've stolen it?
That's what I mean. Now that you own a monkey.
How do you unload these monkeys?
What do you do with the monkey? I'm sure they had a client. At least for the monkeys, I would think you have definitive buyers in advance, right? Birds are birds. And the thing is, if you let the birds go free, I mean, the birds.
It's
right?
Florida. But they'll probably do okay.
But the monkeys, like, you already have a buyer for the monkeys.
How much does a monkey cost in Florida, Mike? You figured out yet?
No, the thing is that it took me to, I hit to go to their website, but they only have like a Facebook site, so I haven't quite found their website yet.
What else do they have besides monkeys and 50 missing birds?
See some dogs and cats, you know. Your
they have regular domestic animals.
Yeah, yeah, exactly.
Okay.
Someone's saying monkeys go for $4,000 to $8,000. How do you know this?
$4,000 to $8,000 for a monkey. How long does a monkey live? So if I make this commitment.
Too long for it to be a pet.
That's what I'm saying. Like, how long is this monkey going to be around in my lifetime?
I mean,
because in a dog, I got like, you know, 7 years, hopefully 15 years, maybe, if I'm lucky.
You understand what you're getting.
Cat could be 20 years, depending
on. Kids go like, I want a pet turtle. Like, no, you don't.
But if you
found that's going with you for the rest of
your life. If you found that a monkey lived 35 years, you know, that's past our lifetime, more than likely. That means that monkey's going to be around long past we're gone.
Yeah, the monkey be alive after I die. Yeah, I'm sure of that.
I ain't getting a monkey, period.
No?
They scare me.
Okay.
Yeah, that's part of the problem, man. They're freaky. And they're fast and they're strong.
Random,
but yeah, $4,000 to $8,000, get stuff of Floridian monkey. Random, hello, Chuck. Random, welcome to the men's room.
Hola, bitches.
Hola.
Chuck, welcome to the program. Random question. How you doing there, buddy?
Doing all right. Ted probably not going to trust me because my name is actually Charles Henry Norman. So that's not two first names. That's three there, Ted.
Yeah. I mean, when's the last time you killed somebody?
Or thought about it.
Well, I'm a truck driver, so I think about it all the time. Idiots.
Well, you already got the profession involved, man.
You got the profession, yeah, you got the name.
Man, oh, man.
Now you just have to get the killing in.
Mm-hmm, that's right.
That's right.
Okay, let's
go. Wants us to
you
think.
Don't have to sound this happy about it.
Oh, Chuck, let me ask you a question. Is that,
you're damn right.
Are you long haul or are you short haul?
I am short haul.
All right, so you go home every night.
Correct.
Okay.
And makes the killing harder, Ted.
Do you have a significant other?
I do.
Okay. We're going to go with this one then. What would you say even if it's not that big of a deal, I'm not talking about all kinds of heavy stuff or anything like that, but what would you say that you and your significant other argue and nitpick about the most often? Just day-to-day stuff.
Not closing cabinet doors. Not cleaning the dryer lint filter.
Mm-hmm. Leaving
I'm not a good communicator.
What do you mean you're not a good communicator? In what example would you give?
Like, we'll be talking about something, and she won't like my answer, and so to avoid arguing, I'll just kind of clam up.
Or you just, what that is, a communication that says, I don't feel like fighting about this. You're communicating, yeah. Hey, let's not blow, I don't care enough to make this the issue that it looks like it's going to be. I mean, that's complete communication.
I think it also it depends.
That's what I think too, bro.
It also depends on the level of what you think is important compared to what the other person thinks is important as far as what your conversation is. You're like,
I just kind of pick my battles. Other than that, it's her not working and, you know, me just being Daddy Warbucks. Okay. Money bags over here.
Oh, yeah. We thought that about you when you called. Here comes Daddy Warbucks.
Daddy Warbucks. That's right.
But the conversation sometimes is just like, you play golf with Chris this weekend, right? Yeah, I did, man. I heard he got engaged and his fiance is pregnant. Huh. Get out of here.
Yeah.
I didn't know. He didn't tell you he got engaged?
Nope.
No. He didn't tell you that his fiance is pregnant?
Didn't
bring it up. How did you not know that?
I know, it's like, because we're dudes. And we talked about farts. We talked about football. We made fun of each other. Yeah, pretty much covers it. Yeah,
maybe he's just out getting his last breath of freedom. I don't know. You know, I didn't bring it up. I didn't ask him. I had no idea.
Like, yeah, it's like when somebody asks you what your buddy does. Like, computers.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Something.
It is amazing because, you know, as guys, we care greatly about each other, but not about anything other than what we believe your character is.
Yeah.
We just want to hang out. 20 years, like, I don't know what he does for a living, but he seems like a great guy.
Yeah. I mean, I'm thinking of two friends right now that I know do something with software and computers, but I am not sure what the hell they do.
No idea.
Yeah.
And I don't know their boss's name. I don't know if they're treated poorly. Like, none of that is our conversations.
The reason we ask, what do you and your significant other argue or, you know, go back and forth about the most? An average couple, they say now, according to a survey, argues 156 times every year over. Any guesses?
What's for dinner?
What is for dinner?
Really?
Study of 2,000 Americans who've been in a relationship revealed the typical couple gets in a fight 3 times a week over where to eat. It takes the average couple 17 minutes of deliberation to finally make a decision where dinner is coming from. 16% will take 30 minutes or more. The survey was conducted by the people of Panera Bread, by the way. And even after that decision has been made, almost 1 in 3 end up fighting about who's going to be the one to pick up the food. Over half the respondents confess they dread hearing the question thrown their way. A lot of people say that they admitted there are places that they don't like eating, even though their partner loves the place. So they eat where they don't want to.
But don't you at least say it? Every once in a while, can we go? And I won't name the one place in particular, but I'm like, you know I hate that place.
Yeah.
I think hate that place, but we can go there, but we stop by the bar on the way home.
Right.
Negotiate.
A bunch of people said they don't like the menu options at their partner's preferred spot. We know.
Does everything have goat cheese and artichokes?
And that's why guys go out and they eat where they want to eat, and the ladies go out and eat where they want to eat, and you do the couple's night and everything else, depending on what's on the dietary restrictions of being a vegetarian or a vegan or whatever the
whatever
hell.
Whatever new allergy you know, have.
Ever been one of those? You can't go to the barbecue place. You know, you can't go here. Can't eat that. All that stuff. So.
Right, well, let's just get the sushi already.
Right. That seems to be
I don't want sushi. And that's the way it goes back and forth and back and forth. Back and forth. My favorite is this. I don't care where we eat tonight. Sweet.
Lie.
Just order a pizza.
Lies.
I don't want pizza. Okay, well, let's, I don't know. Let's go get some sandwiches.
I don't want sandwiches. I had one for lunch.
All right, how about some Thai food? That would be good.
I hate Thai food.
Right. You just said you don't care what we eat. How about Mexican? No. Okay.
Look, and you need to understand. I'm good any night of the week to eat a plate of chicken wings seated at a bar. Right. Like, this is not difficult for me.
Yeah.
It really is not.
Do you like mozzarella sticks?
I don't care where we eat, and I don't care about Valentine's Day.
They are lies! Those are lies!
Right. Fixed menus for the birds, that's a fact, you know? You are listening to The Men's Room.